Blog Talk Radio.
The 2014 FIFA World Cup Review Show. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another exciting edition of the FIFA World Cup Review Show. Daniel Feuerstein with you, along with Carter Krishnar from World Soccer Talk, as we talk about this fantastic day of the World Cup, this time the day one of round of 16. Kartik, how's it going? And boy, oh boy, it just never gets old, does it, with the World Cup?
No, it doesn't. And today was a unique day with four South American teams playing. And a very, very odd day in World Cup history, if you think about not only four South American teams playing against one another, or two and two against each other, obviously, but the host nation, Brazil, really being pushed, really being on the back foot for much of the match against Chile, a nation whose football history is comparatively weak, and a nation who had never won a game on Brazilian soil against Brazil. They still haven't. This will technically go down as a draw the day today, the match today, but a great effort from the Chileans.
Absolutely, a wonderful effort from the Chileans as they pushed Brazil to the brink, going into not just extra time, but into the round of penalties. And boy, oh boy, just some great stuff we saw there. And, of course, in the other game, we saw Colombia. My God, Jaimes Rodriguez, J-Rod we'll probably call him now here in the U.S., just an unbelievable talent where you thought Falcao was going to be the star of this World Cup for Colombia. He is out for this entire World Cup, and this kid comes up big. And for the first time since Christian Vieri, he has scored every single World Cup game up to this point, four straight.
Yeah, first time since Vieri did it in 2002, I believe. The thing about James Rodriguez is he had a bit of a stop-start season at Monaco when he got sold. There, he'd been playing in Portugal the past few seasons. A lot of concerns about him maybe not being quite at the level to be effective in this World Cup. There was a lot of talk about that. Could he be a guy that could actually fill Falcao's shoes? Falcao is his teammate also at Monaco, by the way. Both players there at in that league club. But he's been phenomenal in this World Cup, and what a goal. That first goal could go down as the goal of the tournament. We you know what? In the last World Cup when we had good goals, like we had again the Van Persie goal and even Jermaine Jones' goal, U.S. goal, you would say that's the goal of the tournament. We've had so many quality goals, so many quality strikes in this World Cup that you can't definitively say even that any goal would be in the top five. But this, I guess, would be in RVP's goal. But it's been a wonderful World Cup, and that continued today.
It really did, and everyone, just want to let everyone know, we're going to have also on around 6:45, George D. Metellus from BeIN Sport to join us as well, so stick around with us. And if anyone has any questions right now, we're going to open the phone lines at 646-929-1823. That's 646-929-1823. You have a question for Carter Krishnar, you have a question for me, please do so. We'll take phone calls up till 6:45, and then around 7:15 we'll take phone calls again. But boy, oh boy, Carter, we're seeing the best out of CONMEBOL, if you really think about it. I know it's a bit disappointing that it's come this early, but if you really think about it, we're seeing the best of the best that this confederation has to offer. Argentina hasn't played yet, obviously, but still, we just saw probably the best of the best face each other from within that confederation, and I think it's a wonderful pretense, or at least a wonderful preview, when we see the Copa America next year in 2015 down in Chile. And then, of course, the Centenario version coming to the U.S. in 2016.
Yeah, the 2015 Copa America, of course, based on the suspension Luis Suarez will miss. Now that Uruguay has been eliminated, he misses that entire Copa, and he will miss the first few South American qualifiers as well for World Cup 2018, for Russia 2018. So, but it's going to be a good Copa next year. It's going to be a little bit odd of a Copa, with obviously the Copa next year and then the Centenario in 2016, which is, as you mentioned, going to be hosted in the United States. Not a Come the Ball nation, first time they're taking Copa America outside of their region. So I think it'll be very, very interesting. I think the interest in South American football in the United States is going to increase based on the performance of these South American teams in this World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely, and I agree with you. And, of course, speaking about Luis Suarez, I found it interesting. Obviously, we're finding out a lot of people on the obviously for those that are of Uruguayan descent or from Uruguay themselves, they are a part of many FIFA technical committees when you're discussing about maybe upgrading the football rules or the laws of the game and other things. And you're finding out in the broadcast one of them decided to leave his technical duties because of the whole Luis Suarez situation. And it's just one of those things where, like I've said many, many times, I think Uruguay has fantastic footballers. I think they're very talented, very technical. They do a lot of wonderful, wonderful things. And I understand that, you know, Suarez was missing in this game. But still, Edinson Cavani can still take you down all by himself. And just for some strange reason, I mean, they were performing today. And I'm not taking that away from them. They were performing today. Maybe because of this whole suspension situation, maybe it's gone down a couple of notches. I don't want to be negative, but that's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's definitely the case. I mean, I feel they spent so much energy. They spent so much energy fighting Suarez's suspension that they ended up, I think, really kind of putting themselves in this position where they were too busy fighting that. To be perfectly honest with you, and I think that mentally they put themselves in this position where they felt like, well, our World Cup is over. I mean, even made public statements to that extent. So. That would be very, very critical as far as going forward to see how Uruguay's attitude without Suarez over the course of what will now be probably a year and a half of international football based on the 9 games, how their attitude is going to be having to go forward without playing with this guy when clearly their mentality is different when he's not inside. Even though Cavani is a great match winner, we saw that at Napoli, we saw that at PSG, but for some reason, they're different without him.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a tough one. We're going to take a caller right now. And this guy I know very well, who's a big, big Barcelona fan. Whoops. I think we just lost him, actually, and hopefully he'll call back, but obviously it's one of those situations where I mean it's a mental problem, and hopefully, I don't know, hopefully, to be honest with you, Kardec, but to be truthful about it, you really, really hope they can find a way to just get through this, because if they're going to hinge on Suarez all the time, they're not going to get through. They're not going to get far, and it's just one of those situations where I just think that they have to find a way to get by this. They have to get through this mentally, and they have to go out to just try and do a lot better. They have to do a lot better, and they have to get through this. And let's see. I know we have a caller coming in. Hopefully he'll come back and call again, and I was ready to put him on. But once again, Kardec, it's the situation. Oh, here we go. Maybe we have the caller now. I believe it's my good friend Drew from New Jersey. Drew, are you there?
Hey, Dan. How you doing, buddy?
All right. So what'd you think about today's games, Drew? I mean, a lot of action, a lot of interesting things going out there on the first day of the round of 16.
There was certainly a lot of stuff going on, Dan, and towards about the 80th minute, I'm not sure about you, I sat back, I was watching the game, and I looked inside and I said, where is Luis Suarez watching this game right now? and what is he thinking? And taking nothing away from Colombia, they've been probably the most joyful team to watch, I thought, in this whole World Cup. James Rodriguez has been the star, even though you know I'm a Lionel Messi fan. But I had to sit back and say, as a person, what is Suarez thinking right now? Where is he? It must have been a low point for him. It must have been a low point because he disappointed. You know, he let us down as fans of the game. He let his country down. But more importantly, he let his team down. And that's really, really tough because I think if my numbers are correct, I believe Uruguay is plus – is minus four without him in this World Cup. They lost 3-1 to Costa Rica and then 2-0 tonight. And I think they're plus two with him, the 2-1 winning over England and the one thing win over the Azzurri. So obviously it's a big difference, you know. And him being out cost us all what we wanted to see, you know. And more importantly, though, he let his team down. And that's taking nothing away from Colombia. They've been great. And I think a lot of people are going to predict that they'll beat Brazil. I'm not sure your thoughts on that. But I think a lot of people, and you know, I'm interested to see what the odds are. As you know, I'm an odds guy.
Yes, you are.
Maybe there could be a little bit of an overreaction. And for once in a great moon, you actually could have some value going with Brazil. But Colombia was the best side today. Brazil, didn't look so great.
Well, that's the one thing, Drew. I think Carter will agree. I mean, Brazil has really been one of those teams where you expect brilliance out of them, and obviously they have wonderful players. Neymar is one. I mean, obviously Fred, David Luiz in goal. Julio Cesar has been rock solid so far. But I think we can all agree, Carter, that Brazil has not brought their best yet.
I think that's fair to say, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what the reaction is from Brazil because they played poorly against Croatia. They played poorly against Mexico. Cameroon was the worst team in this World Cup, and they played poorly against Chile. So they're going to have to race their game to beat Colombia. But now that they're at this latter stage of the tournament and they can begin to feel the World Cup, they can begin to taste it, if you will, now in the quarterfinals, maybe they will race their game. But they have a problem at striker. Neither Fred or Joe can quite do the job. And the reality is they have a lot of guys playing in their domestic league that aren't playing necessarily at the same level as the top players, the guys that are able to score goals for the other sides in this competition. They're not playing at the top European clubs or even second-tier European clubs. And that's beginning to show with Brazil. I mean, you saw just the class and quality of Alexis Sanchez, who's a Barcelona player today, and you saw the ability of Rodriguez that we talked about. And when we talked about Uruguay, the main men, Cavani, Suarez. This was my concern about Brazil all along. I mean, I guess I could be accused of being a Euro snob to a certain extent by saying it. But I was fearful that there are a lot of guys on the Brazilian team that they count on that play in their domestic league or have gone to major European leagues for one season. They haven't been there for a very long time. They haven't been, you know, they're not like Alexis Sanchez, who had a really good run in Holland and then moved to Barcelona a few years ago. They're not at that. They don't have many guys at that level. You know, Neymar just moved to
Barcelona
to Europe. Yeah, just to Barcelona last summer. Guys like Fernandinho, Paulinho, and Willian just moved either from Brazil or from the Ukraine, which is not a top league, to a top European league in the last year. So I think Brazil is going to have a hard time. And then in the semifinals, on this side, they would potentially get Holland or Mexico again, or who else could they get on this? They wouldn't get Holland. They would potentially get France or Germany. I don't see how they can compete with either of those teams at this point. They're at home. Well, but it'd be very difficult, even if they get by Colombia, to see them, particularly France, whose defense is real good and is real well organized and has a team chemistry going. I mean, Germany has, I think, a fair number of issues that could be exploited. Just not sure Brazil's the team to exploit them. But
What are your thoughts on two guys who do play in Brazil, Joe and Oscar? I didn't think they played very do play in Europe. I didn't think Joe or Oscar played very well today. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. Oscar was terrible.
Yeah. Oscar was terrible. Joe was terrible. They were all terrible. Drew, we got to get going. We got our friend, but listen, I'll talk to you next time,
okay,
my friend.
Drew.
I'll take it.
All right,
thanks
take care,
for
guys.
In, my friend.
Keep up the good work.
Drew.
Take it easy.
Take care.
Thank you, Drew.
All right, and that's Mike. That's Drew from New Jersey talking. And now we have our big man coming in, the big man on campus from BN Sports, George D. Metellus. George, you know, Brazil, once again, escaping, you might say, from near elimination in this match, and it took the round of penalties to make them survive and move on to fight another day against Colombia.
Yeah, it was certainly the luck of the Brazil going on at the, what was that, the Minute Out for this game. It's funny because Colombia played more like the Brazil that we grew up to love more than the Brazilians do. So it's funny how that has kind of turned. Brazil, I think people are underestimating Chile a little bit, though. I think, you know, Brazil, five-time world champions on their home soil. Everybody has this idea of how they should play and that they should be beating everyone 3-0 with 75% possession. Well, not quite. You know, it's a lot more balanced than that. And Chile is a very good team. I tweeted out that if Chile were on the other side of the bracket and just unfortunate with the draw, they might be a semifinal team. I think they're a semifinal team. I think they have that kind of attitude. They have that skill in the midfield, and then obviously you have two guys in Vargas and Sanchez that can finish. So I think Chile was just a little bit unlucky today. That's hard for me to say because I grew up as a Brazil fan, so that's tough. But, I mean, the reality is, you know, reality is reality, and Brazil, they just got lucky today, and I think people are underestimating Chile. Remember, Chile beat Spain, and they handled them pretty easily. And if it wasn't for, you know, playing some second-choice players, they would have had probably had a draw against the Netherlands. The Netherlands got two goals in, what, the last 15 minutes of the game in order to win it, and we all knew that both teams had advanced by then. So I think people underestimated Chile in that game against Brazil. But, you know, Brazil very fortunate to get through, and, hey, I'm a left keeper in between the sticks for Brazil, making two big saves in the penalty kick shootout.
Yeah, Carter, you know, we got to take it from Felipe Luis Scolari, who said basically Chile is a tough opponent to crack. And boy, oh boy, Carter, I mean, he was right. We all know about Alexis Sanchez, who plays at Barcelona, but still, they got some quality players on that Chile play, and they're breaking through the doldrums of, let's just say, being sides like Argentina, Brazil, as well as
Yeah, especially with the injury to Arturo Vidal, it was really good to see the kind of match. Vidal played. I mean, he's not fully fit. That has affected Chile this entire tournament, actually. And he's the other really influential player besides Sanchez in that midfield going forward for Chile. I do think, though, this is just a continuation of the good football we've seen from Chile. Started with Bielsa, has continued through this period of time, even though before Sampoli took the job, they were having some issues in South American qualifying and CONMEBOL qualifying, but they got that straightened out. They qualified, and they had a very good World Cup. Came out of the group of death, or one of the group of deaths. I guess we had multiple groups of death in this World Cup, but they came out of that. They emerged from a group which included Spain and Holland with 6 points. So that's a remarkable achievement and something worth lauding in itself. And it's the second consecutive World Cup they've gotten out of a group which has included Spain.
Yeah, absolutely right, Carter. But, George, I got to tell you, boy, oh, boy, we all thought Chile was going to take the lead late in second-half stoppage time. Unfortunately for Chile, that Ripper nailed the crossbar. Now, I mean, that looked like that was either going to be destined for the back of the net or maybe a foot bound and bouncing in. I mean, that was just great stuff.
Yeah, it's plays like that a lot of people feel make Brazil kind of destined to win this thing because of the post. I saw a tweet that was funny. It said MVP, and it showed a picture of a goal with two red arrows pointing to the post and the crossbar because obviously the final penalty kick was missed off the post, off that right post. So it just seems like some of this stuff is working in Brazil's favor in terms of destiny. So they did, as I mentioned before, I think they did get lucky, and people are underestimating Chile. But what Brazil has to do is they have – Oscar has to play better. He has to not be so I don't want to say submissive, but he has to be a little more aggressive going forward. He has to be more demanding. He can't be – he can't allow Neymar to, in a sense, kind of hog up the attention, if you will. He has to be more aggressive. He has to more get him more involved. Maybe Felipe has to play him more in the middle because I believe he was playing out wide on the right during the game. And so when he came into the middle, he got a little more active in the second half. So I think that's what, you know, I'd like to see maybe a 4-2-2-2. When I covered the Brasileirão when I was at Gol TV, they would show Brazil. I would do Brasileirão games, and it was a pretty common formation. You have four in the back, and then you have two holding midfielders. You're two, not necessarily wing players, but two players that are creative behind the attackers, and then you have your two strikers. So I'd like to see that, you know, because Fred by himself up top is not getting it done. Joel had very little impact in this game. So maybe you put two strikers up top. Maybe Fred and Joel can work together, or you put Fred, who's a more of a target man, and then you put someone like a Bernard up top, who's a little more agile, faster. And behind them, you put Oscar and Neymar so that they can create. So I think there might have to be a little bit of a tactical change there for Brazil, especially going up against Colombia, because Colombia, if they just keep playing the way they're playing and if they don't have anyone to slow down James Rodriguez, Brazil might be out in the quarterfinals again.
Oh, absolutely there, George. And I will say this, Carter.
Yeah,
I was going to say
Oscar finished the season very poorly for Chelsea. I mean, and he was a player Mourinho liked so much, he sold Juan Mata, right? He sold Juan Mata because of how strong he felt Oscar was the first half of the Premier League season. Finished the season very poorly, and that form has continued into the World Cup with the exception of the Croatia match. I thought he was poor against Mexico. He was terrible today.
I'd like to see that 4-2-2-2 that was pretty popular in the Brasileirão. Give Oscar more space, pair him with Neymar behind two strikers instead of kind of the 4-2 where they play more like a 4-2-3-1, which is kind of a Dortmund formation, which works for Dortmund or, you know, Germany because they have a Müller up top. They have, Dortmund had Lewandowski, but Fred is not in that class. Fred was good a couple of seasons ago with Fluminense, and he had a pretty good Confederations Cup, but it's just not working out this time. So I'd like to see them go to a 4-2-2-2. Oscar and Neymar with more space to operate in the midfield. You have your maybe Ramirez and Paulinho in the back, or Fernandinho and Paulinho. That combination, Luis Gustavo's been decent. So I like to see them play with two strikers. It seems almost anti-Brazil to have just one striker up there. You know, you need someone else up there. I mean, Romário Bebeto, if you go back to when 94. So, although Phenomenal Ronaldo, he was so good that he didn't really need anyone else help up top. But I'd like to see a formation change because I think they're going to need to hold on to the ball and have Oscar more involved when they play Colombia.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well, George. I think they're going to have to change up the formation to be a little bit more dangerous and to have more of the strikers, or at least not make it so Neymar-focused. But I guess here's the question then. If Neymar is considered to be the main man running Brazil, or at least the only star shining, which is really not true because they got plenty of stars, isn't it the same thing with Lionel Messi right now? Because even though they have plenty of great players, Argentina, but Messi seems to be the only one that everyone's talking about because of all the great things he has done, not just for Barcelona, but for being who he is at the same time. What do you think, Kardec?
I think that what we're seeing is a Brazil team where there was an attempt or a marketing campaign around this World Cup where there was an attempt to maybe elevate Neymar to a level, a Messi slash Ronaldo, Ibra, Suarez type level where he's not yet, okay? He's not going to be for another season or two. But the weight of a nation, the expectation of the nation has come down on him. That having been said, he's still having a very good World Cup by any objective standard. It's just that I think when I see some of these complaints about Neymar not producing, I think it's just because the burden of expectation has been too high.
Right. Yes. And I think, I think what you also have to remember is that talent gap between Neymar and the rest of his teammates is smaller than the talent gap between Messi and the rest of his teammates. So there's a lot more pressure on Messi. And I know Lavezzi is a good player, but Lavezzi has always been a little overrated to me. I've never been a big fan of Lavezzi. The next player that Argentina has that can really make a difference and change the game is Agüero. And Agüero, I believe, has just been ruled out for the rest of the World Cup with injury.
Injured. I can say that as a Manchester City supporter. He's always hurt. So you can never count on Kun Agüero.
Yeah, so, I mean, Messi is going to have to carry the team by himself, while Neymar has a little more help. So, and as I mentioned, the talent gap between Messi and the rest of his team is greater than the talent gap between Neymar and the rest of his teammates. So if Messi doesn't play well, Argentina is not going to advance. I think they'll get it done. Who do they play next in the round of 16? They play Switzerland, I believe, right? So that's going to be a tough game. Yeah. Yeah, Odmar Hitzfeld is a very wise coach. He's got a ton of experience at the club level and obviously international level. If he finds a way to keep Messi at bay and in check, then I think Argentina might be in for a surprise. But it's 0-0.
And I was going to say Argentina, if they advance, they are likely to face Belgium. Now, of course, some of us are hoping it's the United States, but realistically, it's likely to be Belgium, who's the type of attacking players Belgium has are going to cause Argentina fits if they don't start to tighten things up at the back. I mean, a Lukaku running at you or an Eden Hazard, it's going to be very tough. So Argentina, they cannot have the kind of breakdowns they had against Nigeria. And they probably can't have them against Switzerland. But assuming they beat Switzerland and Belgium beat the United States, that's where it could all come to an end for them unless they tighten things up at the back.
Yeah. Messi, I guess, hate or the Messi criticism will just drop on his head like a two-ton bomb because they're all going to say, because they're going to hate. Messi did this. Messi didn't do that. Messi didn't do this. Well, I mean, come on. It's not – the name of the country is not Messi-tina. It's Argentina. You know what I mean?
Right.
This guy needs help.
That's what you think. That's what you think.
Yeah, it's a very annoying thing. I have to say this, and I've talked about this before. I haven't had talked about it with you on the show, George, but with Daniel, that the double standard I found a lot of my Argentine friends have, or fans from Argentina. Some of them are not Argentinian, but down here in South Florida, towards Messi versus other players who they consider to be more Argentinian. I guess they consider Messi to be Catalan or Spanish or whatever. They have a very they're not fair in how they judge him. They're not fair in how they view him. And short of carrying the country single-handedly to winning the World Cup, I think he will never be in their hearts the way he should be.
Yeah, but it's funny you said that because when he scores a great goal, vamos Messi, Messi Argentina, vamos boludo, they curse Argentines, cursing in Spanish all the time. So there's that. Then when he doesn't do well, he's not Argentine enough. He's not this. I mean, it's like, come on, dude. Come on. When he scores, he's Argentine and he's great. But when he doesn't score, when he doesn't play well, and the rest of the team let him down, he's more Catalan, he's more Barcelona. He cares more about Barcelona than Argentina, and it's completely irrational. But as we know, as soccer fans, the emotions of the game can make us very irrational very quickly. So. It's like you said, Cardick, it's something that is disturbing when it comes to Messi. It's something that is very unusual with Messi. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, Cardick, I know you got to get going, so I'll talk to you tomorrow. George, please stay on the line. We'll talk about the other round of 16 matchup. We'll talk to you later, Cardick. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Cardick.
And once again, Daniel Feuerstein here on the special edition of the Voice and Fire American Soccer Show FIFA World Cup Review, round of 16, the first day, with George D. Metellus of BN Sports. And, you know, George, I know I haven't spoken to you about it, but to be honest, this whole Luis Suarez situation has really been a topsy-turvy event, you know, with the biting of the shoulder of Chiellini from Italy. And now, you know, everyone in Uruguay is upset. The players are upset. It's a culture clash of some sort. I don't know where it is, but apparently there is a culture clash coming from Uruguay. And several members of FIFA that are Uruguayan are no longer with FIFA because they've left their technical camps. When it comes to this sort of situation, and you saw how they performed against Colombia.
Well, how did it affect the team, the Uruguay team against Colombia?
Yep.
Well, yeah, I think the dissension and the distraction certainly hurt the team. Luis Suarez is their best player, so you can't win a World Cup without your best player, plain and simple. If your best player is not on the pitch or does not play up to his potential, you're not going to win it. And I think that's what we saw there in the match against Colombia. The Luis Suarez thing what bothers me is not, you know, is that I understand he's Uruguayan, you stick up for your man, but you know the man has a history. I think Uruguayan Federation and the people around the team, they should have just hushed their mouth, been quiet, and take the punishment. Because he has a history of doing it, you know. He has a history of doing it. So just keep your mouth shut, focus on the game, and in a month or two it'll pass because the World Cup will be over by then. And then when he gets back into the news after his ban is lifted or after he's finished his suspension, then the talk of Suarez will start again, and then hopefully it'll be about him, what he does on the pitch in terms of scoring goals and not, you know, biting people or causing a distraction. I think it definitely distracted the team, and I think the federation and its directors of Uruguay, they handled it wrong. They should have been, this guy has a history of doing it. We love him. We support him. But you know what? We're just going to stay quiet and just let this thing go over and try to focus on the team. But they made a big deal of it. There was talk that the team might even boycott the game, which would have been absolutely ridiculous and on the most idiotic thing ever to happen at a World Cup if they had boycotted the game. Obviously, it didn't happen. But I think the Federation could have handled it better. You know, you support your guy, you come out with a statement, you say, we support Luis Suarez, and we're ashamed of what he did, and we're just going to focus on the team and try to prepare for the game against Colombia. Boom, that's it. And then you kind of let it dissipate as much as possible, but they kept adding more fuel to the fire, and that distracted the team even more. And they really, without their best player, they couldn't really put it together to beat Colombia. And then, of course, you had the new king James and Rodriguez, who, you know.
Oh, my God.
Down here in Miami, they were saying it's not King James anymore, it's King James. So you have all that combination, and you're just going to, Uruguay is going to get eliminated. So I think the Uruguayan Football Association could have handled it better. Just make a statement supporting Suarez, but at the same time accepting the punishment, be silent, move on, and then have your team just focus on the game.
Absolutely, because, you know, I feel, you know, outside of, well, we're seeing new powers coming in through South America, or maybe they've been so dormant for so long now that they're really coming to take shape, like a Chile, like a Colombia. And I always feel Uruguay, you know, if you want to say they're like number three behind Argentina and Brazil, that's fine. But I always love the technical display that the Uruguayans use on the pitch whenever I see them play. It doesn't matter if it's a Youth World Cup or a Senior World Cup. They always play fantastic, and I enjoy watching them play. It's always this side of their mentality, I would say, that disappoints me.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing about Uruguay is that they're a small nation. I believe it's like 3.5 million people, something like very small. It's the smallest in South America, obviously, in CONMEBOL. And they just continue to produce these great footballers. Their youth system and the clubs, the way they work together, the national team youth system and then the clubs, is amazing, and they just continue to crank out great football. It's very technically sound, and remember, they have as many World Cups as Argentina. Argentina has two, Uruguay has two. So there's that aspect of it that makes it even more impressive, and it really is a shame that they went out the way they did, because they battled so hard for a small country. A long tournament like the World Cup qualifiers, it's going to be rough on them. They don't quite have the depth. They have talented players, but they don't have the depth just in pure numbers. So they made it to the World Cup. They were semifinalists in 2010. Everybody was expecting them to try to equal that, because they still have a good core of that squad at the right age. They weren't too old. So they were expecting them to equal that, or at least put on a better performance, and they didn't get it done. They let Luis Suarez biting people distract them. So Uruguay, I always equate Uruguay to the Netherlands for the Europeans, because it's a small country, but they have a passion for the game. They have a system in place that is effective in finding young players and developing them. And the only difference is Netherlands, they don't have a player that bites people on the pitch. You know, they have a history, you know.
Yeah.
Now, the Netherlands do have a history of kind of biting each other in terms of the politics and not getting along that has destroyed them and made them implode in the past. Uruguay there's a unity there. And even though Luis Suarez bit somebody, you don't hear any of the players, none of his teammates coming out against him. They all had his back. So there's a unity there in being Uruguayan that really strengthens the team and makes them very difficult to beat. So it's a shame how they went out, because I admire the way they play their football, their system, and how they set it up. And it just didn't work out for them, especially South American World Cup. I mean, everything was lined up for them. Obviously, they had South American opposition, so it was tough. But it was always, it felt almost, because it's on South American soil, it was almost like a home field advantage.
Absolutely. But let's go to the Colombian side of things. And you, boy, where has Jaime Rodriguez been? I know he's been playing club football in Monaco with Falcao in the French League One. But, wow, this kid has just been unbelievable since this tournament began. I mean, that first goal, my God.
Oh, my God.
He just settles it off of his head, and his shoulder goes right. He directs it to his left foot. And, oh, my God, what a smack. What a rip.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I'm watching it at the offices at Bein Sports, and we're all watching it, crowded around the TVs. We're watching it. And he hits that ball, and he scores. I swear, about 20 people jump up like, oh, I mean, like, whoa. And then, you know, the Colombian people I work with, who are great, they're jumping up and down screaming, "Vamos, Colombia!" And they're cursing in Spanish. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And we were just like, wow. I mean, my jaw had dropped in a shocking, unbelievable position, like, you know, one of those things, like, for like 5 minutes. I couldn't believe it. I was like, whoa. It was amazing. Yeah. This kid, James Rodriguez, I was speaking to a couple of my Colombian coworkers, and they were telling me that he's kind of a prodigy. He's only 22 years old. He came up in Envigado, which is a small club on the outskirts of Medellin, and he was shipped to Argentina playing for Banfield. He helped Banfield win a domestic title in Argentina when he was like 17, and he went to Porto. And at Porto, he developed and became a great player. And then he made the big money move to Monaco. And now his agent can charge whatever transfer fee he wants to give for James Rodriguez, he will get it. It would not surprise me if James Rodriguez breaks the record set by Bale a few months ago. It was the winter transfer market that Bale made that record-breaking move to Real Madrid. It wouldn't surprise me if he does. Because he has that kind of talent. He's younger than Bale. Maybe he's not as fast. I mean, Bale is, you know, we saw that goal in the Copa del Rey. I mean, Bale is trained.
Mm-hmm.
But he is better on the ball. He can pass. He can finish. You saw how he can finish. So I think this James Rodriguez, he's a kind of a prodigy. And he's starting to show it on the biggest stage. So in a way, people from Colombia are not surprised that he is showing his talent. I think they were just, they weren't expecting it, you know, because he's so young. He's only 22. I think he turns 20 in about 2 weeks. So they weren't really expecting it. But they saw the talent early.
Yeah. And the one thing I also like about him, when he scored his second goal of the game, his movement away from the ball, his movement getting into position, waiting for that right cross or that right pass to just smack it in there, and he did so, beat the keeper. Oh, my God. I mean, he really looked fantastic on that second goal. And how many goals does he have all of a sudden? He's got five, six? He must be leading the Golden Boot by now.
Yeah, he's got five. He's leading the Golden Boot. There was an interesting statistic. They said he is the youngest player in the history of the World Cup to score four goals in his first four World Cup games. Or something, something. I can't remember the exact statistic, but it is like the youngest player to score four goals in his first four World Cup games. And he there was another statistic I read where he's the first player. He joins the list of five players to score five goals in their first ever World Cup or something like that. I mean, the list was something. It had players like Pelé and a couple other, Stabile of back in the day in the 30s. So, I mean, there were some impressive names. I don't remember the statistic specifically, but he's making history. He's making history. And he's the number 10 that Colombia has dreamed about since they had Pibe Valderrama, the guy with the blonde afro hair. I love his hair. It's crazy. But,
he still has it, though. That's even better.
That's the thing. He still has it. He's like 50 years old, and he still has the blonde, curly afro. It's amazing. And he's kind of like the next generation. He was the one that everybody in Colombia were searching. Who's going to be that number 10 after Valderrama to lead the team, to kind of be the man who guides the attack, who can score the goals when they need it? And he's been the one. And he's only 22, so he's got about, what, maybe two or three World Cups left in him to help Colombia get to the top. So it is he is something special, and I hope he continues. Now, I'm a Brazil fan, so I'm like, I don't want him to do it against Brazil, but I'm not going to be mad if he gets it done and he puts on a show. As a soccer fan, that's what you want to see.
You know, apparently he tied the record with one of your colleagues at BN Sports, Christian Vieri, because he scored a World Cup goal in four straight as well. So being tied with an Italian great, like Vieri was back in his playing days, boy, oh boy, that's the chip on the shoulder right there and a notch on the belt.
Oh, yeah. And now, hopefully, he has the when he retires, James Rodriguez, he's as fun to be around and as expressive as Vieri is, because Vieri, you get him behind the scenes, on camera as well, he's very genuine. He's fun to talk to, man, and he doesn't pull any punches. So hopefully James is like that when he gets older. He's still young, so he still has some media training, I'm sure, that he has to go through. But that's a very impressive stat against comparing him to a great player like Vieri. But kid James Rodriguez. And another player watch out in Colombia, too, who's been great is Cuadrado. Cuadrado has as many assists. I believe he has four assists in this game, in the tournament so far. He has been as impressive as James Rodriguez. They make a good duo because James is more of a creative playmaker with his mind, and Cuadrado is a little more athletic, so they work well with each other. And they're going to cause problems for Brazilian defense. Thiago Silva and David Luiz better be on their A game next Friday.
Yeah, speaking about that game next Friday, I think I'm gonna say this right now. Brazil is in trouble. I really believe Brazil is in trouble. If they got lucky winning it in the shootout, they're going to be in deep, deep trouble against this hungry, exciting, fast, talented, and young Colombian side that will definitely be the upset special.
Oh, yeah. See, from this point on, Colombia don't really have any pressure. They've made their history. They've never reached the quarterfinals of the World Cup, so this is their first time. So they can relax. They can play freely. They can play the style that they want. Brazil has all the pressure because we know this. They have to win it. There's no, we get to the final and we're happy. No, they have to win it. Anything else is a national tragedy. So all the pressure is on Brazil. And then when you consider they haven't been playing well, they got lucky against Chile. it's setting up for Colombia to reach to the semifinal. I mean, everything is lining up well for Colombia to reach the semifinals. And Brazil, they have to find a way. They have to find a way to just to play Brazilian football, get the possession, hold on to the ball, have Oscar and Neymar working off of each other, and get somebody in there who can finish. Joe, Fred, I don't know, maybe if Ronaldo drops, oh, phenomenal, Ronaldo drops 60 pounds in 2 days, maybe they can get him out there, I don't know. But they need to do something because Colombia is going to be waiting. They're going to play free and loose. They don't have any pressure, and it is going to be – it could be a nightmare scenario for Brazil fans. So I'm looking forward to that game. I can't wait to see what's going to happen that next Friday. It is going to be amazing.
Yes, it will be. George, listen, thank you again for the time. I really do appreciate it. Hope to have you back on one more time before this World Cup is over. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Enjoy your meal. I'll talk to you later, my friend.
All right. Thank you very much. And hopefully the USA will take down Belgium in a couple of days. Let's hope.
That's right. That's right. And I'm hoping to go into this Belgian restaurant in New York City that I know very well. I frequent it a lot. And I can just go and stick my tongue out at the owner.
Yes. That would be sweet. Talking trash in the Belgian restaurant. I love it. I love it. That's awesome.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, my friend.
All right. You too. You have a good one.
All right. You too. That's George DeMatteis from BN Sports, of course, also formerly Gold TV, talking. Helping me out, talking about these two round of 16 games, of course. Colombia defeating Uruguay by a final of 2-0. It was 1-1 between Brazil and Chile till they got to the round of penalties, and it was 3-2 Brazil with some great goalkeeping by Julio Cesar as well as some post shots that was taken by Chile. But still, though, a lot of excitement in this World Cup, a lot of entertaining stuff. Phone lines are back open once again. 646-929-1823, 646-929-1823. If you've got something on your mind and you want to talk before we close the show today, please do come on, call in, and give me your opinion about these two great games. And if you even have an opinion about the whole Luis Suarez situation, please go ahead and say so, whether you're for it or against it, with the ban, which, you know, I found it interesting, Chiellini all of a sudden feeling sorry for admitting that he was bitten, and then Suarez gets this ban, and I'm thinking, why are you feeling sorry for almost having your shoulder bit off? I find it weird sometimes how some people are. It's like, oh, you know, I was upset, but I wasn't that upset. I didn't think I was going to get that banned. I didn't think he was going to get banned that much. Well, look, he's got to pay the price. He's got to pay the price for what he's done to you. He's got to pay the price for what the situation came up for, which is basically the third time he has bitten an opponent, and for the first time on a national team level and the first time in a World Cup. I mean, that's not what the World Cup should be remembered for. Absolutely not. So I understand it, and I do take FIFA's side on this. Look, you're screaming for a ban. FIFA does the job, and then you're upset about the ban? Give me a break. That's ridiculous. Unbelievable stuff here, I'm telling you. But I got to say this, and I'm glad that it's happened, and now the ban, obviously Uruguay gets eliminated, so there'll be no Copa America again in 2015 for Luis Suarez. There will be no early World Cup qualifiers for Uruguay, which will probably start in 2015, around September. So that's also going to be a huge, huge situation for Uruguay. If they do have a bad start to this campaign. And look, I'm being honest when I'm saying this. I'm being honest when I say this because I do enjoy other national teams playing this game. You know, look, I can respect what goes on with the European national teams, the Central American national teams, obviously respecting what Mexico has done within CONCACAF, and, of course, what goes on in South America. I am respectful. And, look, Brazil has fantastic players. Argentina has fantastic players. But it's something about Uruguay that just makes me feel that these are the players that kind of mesh how Argentina plays with the flair of Brazil, because I truly love what Uruguay brings – into World Cup qualifying, into the World Cup itself, even their youth national teams. I enjoy watching Uruguay, and I still say they are a great national team. But when you see the other side of Uruguay, that's where I get disappointed. I get disappointed seeing Uruguay act like this when it's a little bit of negativity, whether they're struggling, or at the same time, when you have a situation like this with Luis Suarez and the way that it was treated by the Uruguayan FA, it's just, you know, that's the part I don't like. Other than that, they're brilliant. I love watching them. I love watching how they perform. They're so technical. They're so explosive. They are that good and that dangerous. That's what I love about Uruguayan football, and that's the truth. And now we're going to have ourselves another caller today. We're going to bring them on right now, 615-860. You're on the air, and give me your opinion, please.
My opinion is you have a sexy voice, and I want to lick your soccer balls.
No, thank you. My wife would get jealous. So, unfortunately, we will take that off. But I will say this. If you do that, my wife's going to get jealous, and she'll be very upset with you. So that's not going to happen. But other than that, we have to say that it's just been an unbelievable thing here, seeing great World Cup action, great World Cup stuff going on. And you know what? It's just wonderful to watch when you see four great nations from South America playing attractive style of football, of soccer. It's just wonderful to see Colombia. Can we say coming of age with this wonderful player in James Rodriguez? J-Rod, we'll call him maybe. You know, I have to say that it was just an absolute wonderful thing to see a young and talented player like this coming up through the ranks and just absolutely kicking some butt. Absolutely kicking some butt. And he's doing it well. Five goals right now in this World Cup tournament since the start of the group stage, all the way now in the round of 16, and now waiting for Brazil on the 4th of July on a Friday afternoon down in Brazil. That game is going to be unbelievable. That game will be played over at I'm going to the wrong one, actually, on the schedule. There we go. This match will be played at the Estadio Castelao in Fortaleza. So that should be interesting for that quarterfinal matchup. That will be at 4 o'clock Eastern, actually. So it should be a lot of fun to watch that game. And you know what, guys? Who knows? Could Colombia throw the big monkey wrench into the plans of the gods? It's a big question right now. It's a huge question right now. Because at the moment, Brazil, and we have to be truthful about it, they don't look that good. We're not seeing the Brazil that we have seen all these years. I'm not talking about they have to play like those teams like Pelé played. Maybe Ronaldo, maybe Ronaldinho, maybe Rivaldo, maybe those teams. Those are the teams, like Cafu. Maybe those teams like they did it back in 1994 in the United States, like they did in South Korea, Japan in 2002. We're talking about those teams. We're talking about those teams that we remember, that we've seen for like maybe the last 12, 16 years, that sort of situation. Those teams that are able to go out and play well in a World Cup, in a Confederations Cup, a Copa America, you know, some of these up-and-coming players. Neymar right now is considered the biggest name on this team. David Luiz is a big name. Thiago Silva is a big name. Obviously, Luiz David Luiz and Thiago Silva. Of course, they're going to be teammates now on Paris Saint-Germain. And then you see, you know, a great star like Edison Cavani for Uruguay, who has been, you know, he broke out with Napoli in the Serie A, and then he goes and transfers over to Paris Saint-Germain. And look at what he was able to do up to this point, even though Cavani probably should have shown a lot more, maybe did a little bit better today, but did not. But the truth of the matter is this, is that we're going to have ourselves some great action. Once again, we've got some time here. If you want to call in, 646-929-1823. None of the comments that I just got a couple of minutes ago, because my wife will get jealous, and I don't want that to happen. So please, let's not go there. Thank you anyway. I appreciate the compliment, but to be honest with you, let's not go there. My wife will be very upset and very jealous, and I can't have that. So as we keep on going here on this special edition of the 40 Seconds Fire American Soccer Show, FIFA World Cup Round of 16 Review Day 1. And then tomorrow you'll join us again, same time at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, as we're going to review those games, of course, the games that we love to watch as the Dutch face Mexico, and then Costa Rica will face Greece. Of course, we will have on John Jagu around 6:45 to talk Mexico against the Netherlands, 5:45 Central, and then around 7 o'clock at night, Marios C. Spantos, who covers Greece, he'll tell us how they played against one of the up-and-coming powers of CONCACAF, which is Costa Rica, which they proved really, really well. They showed well in their group stage. And, you know, we're still talking about Costa Rica, how wonderful they were in this group stage. My God, when you see them play against England, against Italy, and then against Uruguay, no one picked them to get out of the group. And look, I'll be honest with you too. I'm not going to say here I was Kreskin. I'm not going to tell you anything that, hey, I saw this coming a mile away. What I would say, and what I would probably definitely say to people, is this. Costa Rica is a tough side. They're a very, very athletic, very physical, and a solid side that will attack well. Have they shown well in the past World Cups? No, they haven't. And I didn't expect them to turn it around like this, to become a power that, you know, could be healthy within CONCACAF, that could really scare the hell out of Mexico and even the USA. The U.S. has not won in Costa Rica at all. So that tells you something, how good at home Costa Rica is if you're within CONCACAF. I did not see this coming from Costa Rica. And they are in the round of 16. And this is an unbelievable moment, not just for Costa Rica, but for CONCACAF to have three out of the four nations that qualified for this tournament. Three out of the four sides going into the round of 16. Now we're going to see what Mexico and what Costa Rica are really made of, facing off against probably a great Dutch team when you're talking about Mexico, and then you're talking about a blue-collared, hard-working, never-say-die attitude Greek side that will definitely give Costa Rica some problems. But if Joel Campbell comes out and Brian Ruiz and everyone else on the Ticos finds a way to come out and play balls to the wall, to do everything possible to try and upset the Greeks, it could happen. I'm not taking anyone for granted in this World Cup. I never do when it comes to these World Cup finals, because upsets can happen. Cinderella's fairy godmother can pop out of nowhere and take some rocks and make those, you know, glass boots, if you know what I mean. Super strong stuff, I'll tell you. Thanks again to the callers. My good friend Drew from New Jersey, thank you for calling in. Thanks to Carter Krishnayer from World Soccer Talk. And thank you again, George D. Metellus from BN Sports. My name's Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me today. Join me again tomorrow to talk more World Cup Round of 16 action, the second day of the Round of 16. Enjoy your football. Enjoy the World Cup. I will talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye for now. Take care.